Hello there, and welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. Thank you so much for being here. I want to congratulate you for saying yes to the possibility of having the relationship of your dreams. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy because I want you to be with a guy who is right for you and who makes your heart sing. After a long and winding journey to love, I found my Mr. Right and became an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43. And I'm so blessed and honored to have helped many single women throughout the world meet and attract their Mr. Right and find the love they've always dreamed of. This virtual gathering is designed to give you renewed hope, inspiration, tools, and resources to help support you on your journey to love as we begin 2015. And I'm so thrilled to tell you I've gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you some of their best wisdom, advice, and guidance. I'm so excited about interviewing our guest today and invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. I know you'll enjoy the interview, and you may even want to take a few notes. It's my privilege and pleasure to introduce to you our wonderful guest today, Jonathan Astley. Welcome, Jonathan.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much, Michelle. This is going to be so much fun. I'm excited.
Thank you so much for your enthusiasm, and it is going to be so much fun. And, ladies, I know that you're in for a treat. I know you love hearing the male perspective, and I know Jonathan is very generous in what he shares. And just to let you know just a little more about him before we get started, Jonathan Astley is known as America's leading midlife dating and relationship coach. He is a defender and protector of women's hearts around the world. He helps women transform from attracting Mr. Wrong into finding their Mr. Right. Jonathan, a successful entrepreneur, coach, speaker, and author of Unlocking the Male Mind, Finding Love Online, and Why Men Pull Away, Three Men's to Keep Him Close. He is our special guest today, and he is like a guy spy to the male mind who truly understands the way a single or divorced man thinks and acts. He is a master at helping women recognize and distinguish the difference between men who are emotionally unavailable and from those who are truly ready for love. So, Jonathan, we're so excited about having you here today. This is going to be so exciting. And the topic that you're going to be focusing with us on today is how to learn what men are thinking when it comes to love, sex, and commitment. And for any single woman out there, how many hours have we spent thinking about this, right? So I know this is going to be a juicy topic.
Oh, this is going to be so... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. So, Jonathan, it is going to be fabulous to hear your perspective. And I'm just wondering, so many women out there, I know you hear this and I hear this, wonder about the idea about men being commitment phobic. So from your point of view, what can you share with us about whether or not men are commitment phobic?
No, that's a great question, and it comes up so often. In fact, I every once in a while survey my list and say, what's the greatest challenge they have when it comes to dating? And my audience is women who are dating men over 40, and mostly men between the ages of 40 and 65. And, you know, commitment phobe or commitment ready, all that kind of stuff is the question that comes up most often. And it's an interesting one because I think the dynamic of relationships for those over 40 is much different than in our 20s, because in our 20s we start off life kind of like a clean sheet, a white sheet of paper, you know. Say that in that, you know, there's endless possibilities. There's not much stuff written. And yet, as we get older, stuff starts to accumulate. I call it stuff. Some people call it baggage, or I prefer luggage, you know. And that stuff that comes up is divorce, You know, it could be alimony, could be child support, could be visitations in one sense. It could be, for some people, their stuff is they're going through a transition professionally. In 2008, you know, I don't even know how many millions of men were displaced professionally. When the market went down, and so they're having to reinvent themselves, myself included, big time. And so that's another component of what's going on. And so, and it could be also our past trauma starts to surface. And why that surfaces for men in particular is that, you know, men in their 20s are driven by testosterone. And that testosterone says we can conquer the world. We're going to become the next Mark Zuckerberg, the next billionaire. I mean, we have so much drive and energy. I mean, we can't stop ourselves. It's literally coming out of our pores. And what happens is we have a blueprint of what we think our life is going to, you know, be like, you know, as we grow older. And then what usually happens, and some people call this midlife crisis, and I say, I call it when our blueprint collides with our reality.
Ooh.
Our blueprint collides with our reality, and all of a sudden,
I love that
bam,
description.
You know, we're in shock in many cases. And, you know, so that's why, you know, in the past it was called midlife crisis, because all of a sudden this shift is happening, and men don't even know themselves at this point, because they start asking themselves one huge question, and who am I and why am I here? It's actually two questions, I should say. You know, who am I, why am I here? And once that starts to happen, everything shifts. And so, but some men are in that space, you know, it's in between that space of that blueprint colliding is where there's a lot of turmoil. And when a man's foundation, his life's foundation is uncertain, the challenge of entering a relationship with that man is that if he can't provide a solid base for within himself, he can't hold the space of relationship. So that's why men appear to be commitment phobic. It's not that men don't fear commitment. In fact, men tend to get into relationships much faster than women give them credit for. In fact, we go in so fast we begin to nest. You know, and that's NEST, right? We begin to nest in relationships because the minute we're happy, we don't want to go anywhere.
Right.
You know, when a guy is happy and he feels good about the person he's with, he doesn't want to go anywhere. Now, that doesn't mean that he overly professes commitment. He just is in a happy space and he's just present. So, you know, I've given you a couple dynamics going on here, and that's one of the challenges going on with the dating over 40 crowd, is that a lot of men are in this place of being displaced. Maybe they're going through a transition from a former relationship, or they're just tapping into their emotional side, and there's no foundation for them.
Wow, that was so interesting and such a valuable perspective and such an important awareness for women to have in interacting with men. And that description of the blueprint and the reality colliding for men, I think is so important for women to understand. That's just such a valuable insight. Thank you for sharing that, Jonathan.
Oh, you're welcome. In fact, it's kind of one of the foundations of when I created my Unlocking the Male Mind program, is really to understand all the different dynamics that are going inside a guy's head. Let me share this, why I even brought this up just now. I'll never forget, it was about 5 or 6 years ago, I can't remember now. I was at the bookstore with my son, and I was looking for, I was looking for Steve Harvey's book, you know, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, kind of.
Yeah,
book.
Yeah.
And I bring that up because there's so many valuable little tidbits in that book. And I was looking for books that were women were purchasing about men. And there were row after row after row after row after row after row of books. I mean lots of books about women to understand men. And
I think I've read most of them.
I know. You know, my son turns to me and goes, well, Dad, you know, he's 14 years old, where are the books about guys to understand women? I go, well, there's only two books. And he goes, really? And I go, yeah, they're down there. And I tell him what they are, you know. The two books are How to Pick Up Chicks and How to Pick Up Hot Chicks.
You know? Oh boy!
And why that's so funny is that men their challenge is really meeting women. For men, the challenge is confidence to meet women. I'd say most men out there who are single and looking for love, and especially men who've even been around the planet, you know, in their 40s and 50s, their greatest challenge is confidence. So men seek guidance and confidence, whereas women tend to want to know what the why. They're more focused on the why. And honestly, when we focus more on confidence, one of the reasons why men are or women are attracted to confident men is when a person is solid in their I, really solid in their I, and they know who they are, they radiate confidence. So when I created my program is not only to give you the understanding of the why, but also create a space so that you're so confident, that a woman's so confident, that she is just a man magnet out there, that she is literally attracting quality good men in because she's demonstrating the same qualities that women are attracted to in men.
Solid in the eye. I love that. I love that description. Tell us a little bit more about that, Jonathan, what it means for a woman to be solid in the eye.
I love, thank you for asking me that one because this is a biggie. And, you know, if any of you listening have heard, there's this book called Why Men Love Bitches, right? And what that really stands for, if we take the acronym bitch, and what the way I view it, it stands for babe in total control of herself. Babe in total control of herself. We could say beauty in total control of herself. That's another way of saying it. But and what that really means is that you're really what I call self-confident, self-reliant, self-assured. You know, you're in a space that you're, or self-contained even, you know, we'll add that, that you're so solid in who you are that as much as you do care for someone else, that you're giving love from your overflow and not seeking love from your lack. Let me say that one more time. You're giving love from your overflow than rather than seeking love from what's lacking inside of you. And there is nothing more attractive to either a man or a woman that comes from that space of overflow. Because they know I don't need you. I mean, you know, it's not coming from a place of need. It's I want you. I want you to be part of my life. And if you don't want to be, that's okay, because I know someone else is going to step up, you know?
Yeah.
And today's woman is in, I almost hate saying this. I really do. But the single woman out there, so many are coming from a place of lack and that you need to complete me. Now, they might outwardly come across with a mask saying quite the opposite, but deep down, what I'm finding most often is that a woman's greatest fear is not being liked, not being lovable, and so they're not solid in their own self-love, and it's one of the reasons why they're attracting men who are also in the same place, men who are not in self-love. And so those men tend to be selfish. They tend to be self-absorbed. They tend to be what I call boys versus real men. And the distinguisher between a boy and a real man is very simple. And everyone, if you've got a pen and paper, write this down. It's the person who takes, or it's the man who takes personal responsibility for his actions. That's how you can differentiate between an adult male who's a boy versus an adult male who's a man. Is do they take personal responsibility for their actions? And let's take that a step further. Their actions match their words. There's nothing more frustrating than a person who, you know, talks, but their actions don't back up what they say.
Right. Right. And I always tell women in their interactions with men, if the words and the actions are not congruent, to pay attention to the actions.
Yeah, absolutely. That is the telltale sign. Actions matter more than words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, I love that distinction between the men and the boys. So that leads gracefully into another question I'd really like to ask you. And I know this is another question that is so much on so many women's minds. And that is, Jonathan, where are all the quality men? Sometimes it feels like there's a scarcity out there, and yet I agree with you, this abundance mentality is so important.
That is one of my favorite questions. Where are all the quality men? And, it, you know, because it really, that's one of, remember I told you about the survey. I think that was the number two or number three question that was asked.
Yeah.
You know, let's define what quality means, you know, because there's a, just even that alone has many connotations and different perceptions for different people. I think what distinguishes, as I said almost a moment ago, the difference between a boy and a man is that person who can take, you know, who can take personal responsibility. And so when I think of the word quality, I think of the word grown up. Okay? So where are the grown up men? Okay?
Right.
And grown up men are everywhere. They really are. There's an abundance of quality men everywhere. And I think it starts with what you focus on. Because, oh, I'll give you an interesting, okay, so I'm going to get to this point in a second. But my son and I, my youngest son and I play a game every time we get together, and it's called Punch Buggy Beetle, which basically means every time you see a Volkswagen Beetle, you know, we have to punch each other. And normally when I'm driving throughout the day, I don't think of the car. You know, I'm driving around, I'm, you know, I see all kinds of cars, I don't think about it. The minute we play a game, I become focused on it, and all of a sudden I start seeing Volkswagens everywhere.
Right.
So it's the same when it comes to love. If what you focus on is cheaters, liars, jerks, assholes, players, you know, and the list goes on, what are you going to see when you're going out dating or you're on Match.com or you're on Tinder or whatever it is? What are you going to see?
You're going to see them.
Yeah. So now what if you shift that perspective, that focus, to saying, you know, what are the traits that most that you most admire in a man? Integrity, honesty, personal responsibility, actions matching the word. And you even say that there's an abundance of men out there who represent that. All of a sudden you're going to start seeing those men. Now, it might be men that you already work with, that you have a great deal of respect, okay? It might be the person at the grocery store. It might be the fireman. It might be the policeman, that you have this great respect. And if you start viewing men that way, you will automatically open up that doorway to all the quality men that are out there, and they'll be all around you.
Mm.
Now, I want to say this. You know, just like women, you know, we men have our challenges too, and we have our flaws. And so, you know, there's no, I don't believe in the perfect person, you know, the unicorn out there that is so above being so perfect, you know, that we have our flaws, we have our issues. You know, it might be, you know, as I mentioned earlier in 2008, when a man went through a crisis and a crash, or maybe he went through a divorce, and he's still dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it goes back to what I'm going to probably repeat myself here a bunch of times. So it goes back to that personal responsibility and action matching words. And so that's what you want to focus on most when it comes to men, and putting out that energetic, that focus on attracting that.
Hmm. You know, Jonathan, as you were speaking just now, a thought that came to me that I think could be really valuable along the lines of what you're saying here is for us as women to be in a place of observing the qualities, the characteristics, the character of men out there whom we admire and respect, whether or not they're a potential romantic partner or not, just generally observing high quality men and the things that we admire and respect about them. And I think that's perhaps one little way we could begin, you know, for those of us that have felt at one time or another discouraged about men and quality men out there, that could be one way to begin to make that shift.
Oh my God, thank you for even, you know, steering us in that direction, because I'm a firm believer that there's quality people all around you. Now, here's the thing. You can judge someone for, you know, an indiscretion or, you know, an error or flaw in who they are. But when you look at someone in their totality, can you say, does this person I know is a good person? And just start putting together a list of all the quality people you know. In fact, most of my coaching is for single women in particular. So one of the things I ask them to do is make a list of all their male friends who they care for and respect. And put together that list so you actually see that, you're actually feeling that. And then start asking yourself, especially if these are men you interact with on a regular basis, is find out who they know that are like him.
Right.
You know, because chances are you're going to meet, you know, your love interest, you know, possibly through someone you already know.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be physically know. It also can be in the virtual world. I think Facebook is a great way to connect with new people and make new friends. And I'm saying that out loud because I found my new love interest through someone who's been following me for quite some time. We've interacted a few times, and now we've connected through a connection, and we have multiple friends who know each other, so it gave us kind of a referral or endorsement to one another.
Right.
So it's important to kind of start listing all the people you know who are quality and see who they know as well.
Mm. Yeah, I love that, and I think that it's so powerful to be in that place, like you're talking about with the Volkswagen Beetle example with your son.
Yeah.
I really do believe that what we are, you know, our prism through which we view the world, that is going to be what we're going to see. And as women, if we're thinking that all men are jerks or losers or cheaters or liars or whatever, you're right. That's what's going to manifest. And so this one thing of making that shift of really observing the qualities and characteristics and attributes of men that you admire and respect, and like you're talking about, getting in touch with those friends that have those kinds of admirable qualities, I think that's a way to really make a powerful shift.
I'm in full agreement.
So, Jonathan, I know one of the things, besides where are all the high-quality men, that comes up a lot for women is once a woman does meet a man and begins to interact with him, sometimes there feels like there's amazing chemistry and good potential. Sometimes women express frustration because it feels like when things are just starting to go well, a man might pull away. And I'm wondering what you can share with us that might be valuable about why men pull away, or at least it feels that way.
You know, it's like I must be, it's kind of interesting. You're asking all the same questions that came up on the survey. And I just did it yesterday, so I'm chuckling a little bit. But, you know, why do men pull away is by far one of the most important, you know, questions that comes up most frequently. And I think, you know, this is a very dynamic question, and there's multiple reasons going on here. I think both men and women today are lost. I'm saying that. They're lost. And what I mean by that is they're lost on what does a good quality relationship look like. I think maybe they're today's role models don't almost seem to exist anymore. There's very few. Many, you know, adults today come from homes that were of divorced parents. I mean, a significant number now. I mean, it's so substantial. So the idea of what a good, solid relationship looks like and how to perform in relationship for most people is almost foreign to them.
Yeah.
Now, for those of us who have done personal growth work and certainly have read books and start to immerse ourselves in this, I happen to be one of those men, is that I can see what a foundation of a good, solid relationship looks like. But the reason why men pull away is, for one fundamental reason, is I'm not sure. I'm not saying I'm not sure. I know most men today are struggling on what a good solid relationship looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Then add to that transition in life, going through a divorce, maybe rebuilding themselves because they lost their job, maybe they're dealing with health issues. Add that to the equation, and a man today may not have, remember I said earlier, may not have that stable foundation to hold a relationship. And while we all want companionship, attention, affection, and regular sex, and so we enter in relationship because we want those things, you know. The need to connect with another human being is one of our top needs in life, right? So that need to enter in relationship, but what does it look like and how to hold it is this is where it gets foreign. And so one of the things I have adopted in my own life, in my own relationship, is actually discussing personal growth with my partner. I mean, it's a new love interest, so it's kind of new. So, but we've had a lot of interaction and dialogue. And I'm a full believer that, you know, couples that enter in relationship, once you get past that honeymoon phase, is invest in learning about each other's and let me just take it a step further, and learning tools on how to communicate better and how to bond with each other. If that means reading a book together, a fantastic book, and talking about it, and I'm talking about a relationship book or a self-help book, right. It might be going to a seminar and workshop, but investing in the relationship, I think that's going to help, especially if the woman takes the lead. I'm going to tell you this. Everything I've learned in life has come from a woman, not another man. And so women can take the lead in this area, and you're going to find that a man is going to become more attached to you, more involved, and more active, even if you've guided him a little bit along this process.
Mm. I think that's such a lovely idea. You know, there's always, and you know this, you and I both are fascinated with relationships and
yes.
with particularly romantic and long-term love relationships. And there's always another layer. There's always more to learn and to discover. And I think the idea that you're sharing here is really a beautiful idea as a way to continue the growth of that romantic or loving relationship.
I know, you know, in many ways I'm putting out there a concept that very few people would maybe even want to entertain. And I say that because it might be foreign to them.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of us like you and I who have immersed ourselves in personal growth and immersed ourselves in understanding relationship dynamics and why so many relationships end, I think it's because one of the fundamental challenges is that people don't have the tools to communicate and to understand one another. And this is both men and women. And women are just as, you know, I don't want to use the word guilty, that's the wrong choice, but just as involved in this capacity is that, and it's understanding each other's context. So it's like the color blue, which is my favorite color. You might perceive that color blue one way, and another person might see it another way. So it's just like the word commitment. What that means to one person could mean something different to another. And when we understand each other's shared when we can share context and understanding, we're more apt to resolve relationship issues at a much faster rate. So we don't have to go through a lot of pain and frustration and triggers and anguish. And it starts with understanding where each person is coming from.
Right.
In fact, as I shared with you earlier, I have a new love interest. And we had a slight misunderstanding. And it could have sent us on the opposite end of the bench. I mean, literally, this just happened a week ago. But she was upset with me and I was upset with her because and I don't even want to give the reason of the why, because it was kind of, you know, it wasn't even that big of a deal. But we took a pause for a moment, kind of, you know, we took a breath. We said, okay, let's just talk about this. You share your side. I'm going to listen. I'll share my side. You're going to listen. And once we shared it, and we didn't come from a place of being right. Let me say that one more time. We didn't come from a place of being right. It was more about sharing how we felt about the circumstance. We immediately came right back to love. I mean, immediately came right back to that space of love. And we started with a conversation, not confrontation.
Right.
Let me repeat that. Conversation, not confrontation. And once we got an understanding of how each other viewed this, it was like, oh, my God, that was so nothing.
Right.
It really was. But we needed to understand where the other person was coming from. And that was a promise that we made to ourselves, is any time we have a misunderstanding, we're going to share with the other person the perspective, their perspective, and vice versa, and then we can come to either a middle ground or just complete understanding.
Yeah, I love that concept. It reminded me of one of Stephen R. Covey's 7 principles of highly effective people, which is seek first to understand before
yes.
you are understood. And you just gave a perfect example of that. And if I might, Jonathan, I'd like to ask you a really personal question. And
sure.
that is, you have shared generously from your own experience. And one of the things you've shared is your idea and concept of how past relationships have led you and guided you to help you to be ready for your next relationship, and also this wonderful concept of entering a relationship and, where necessary, exiting a relationship with love. And because I know so many of the women here on our summit have experienced heartache or heartbreak or disappointments or relationships that haven't worked out, if you would be so generous, I think they'd really love to hear some of your wisdom from your personal experience.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's the timing again couldn't be any better, because I literally posted something the other day. If it's okay, I'd like to share it with you, a blog.
Yeah,
and I
please.
Said, when I think of my divorce, there was so much hate and anger between us, which lasted for years. How could two people enter in love and exit with so much bitterness? While we've mended and healed since then, it took years for me to be in a space to love again. Then when I think of my most recent ending, we both took personal responsibility and we agreed to find the most loving way to move on. Because we entered with love and exited with love, there's no doubt in my mind that this allowed me to open my heart much faster to love again. Yes, there's someone special I care for. Every day I see people who yearn for love and yet their hearts are blocked because of past hurt or pain. Friends, it's impossible to attract love if you're blocked. If this is happening to you, it's time to forgive, to let go, and return to love. For when your heart is open, new love will find its way to you. And it's I'm tongue-tied for a moment. Please forgive me. You know, I mean, I'm choked up a little bit because I see it every day.
Yeah.
When we're blocked because of past hurt and pain, or let me say that, when we have past hurt and pain, we are blocked to attracting new love. And so I was blessed. I was in a 3.5-year relationship with an amazing woman who taught me more about the heart. She used to have her own TV show called Straight from the Heart, so look who I attracted in, a woman who taught this, you know, taught me about connecting to my heart. And because of that, our relationship was wonderful. We weren't meant to go the distance, but that was okay because we healed a lot of childhood wounds. We took personal responsibility for, you know, how we both showed up in relationship. We came to a space of acceptance and closure, and we then invested in our own self-love, you know, to mm-hmm. kind of hold us in that space of any grief or sadness over the relationship. But we held a space of love, and yet, in fact, we both are coaching. We do some coaching around this called heart-centered uncoupling. And that is really ending with love. And so when you end with love, you can be in a space to attract new love much faster. It'll be like a magnet to draw that in because you're already in a good space of self-love. And now that I've experienced it, I am amazed at how quickly I've attracted an amazing woman in my life. In 6 months, I attracted someone so special, so wonderful. We're almost like so alike. It's almost scary. And I know that this is someone who I really want to invest in. It's very early to tell, so I'm giving you this precursor to it right now. But I know because I'm in a good space, I become a magnet to it. And that's, if I can share anything, I mean, I know I'm going to share something huge at the end, but if I can say one thing, when you are in a space of self-love, you will become a magnet for attracting what you most desire.
Yeah, that's so beautifully said. And I think it's so key what you're talking about here. It's not always the easy thing to do to exit with love. It can be very challenging. And yet I do agree with you that that does help create that opening in that space for attracting love. And I think a lot of times when we don't exit with love and we have that bitterness and anger and pain that's lingering for so long, we, without even realizing it sometimes, we build up more or less walls that we think are protecting us, but in fact they're keeping anyone from getting close to us. We're actually keeping out what we really most would like to have.
Can I piggyback on that one real quick?
Yes, please.
You know, I see this happen where women put up walls. In fact, it's almost kind of like, I dare you. You know, I dare you to scale this wall of trust because I've made this wall so high, you know, that it's going, I mean, it's on its way to the moon, this wall. And I dare you to climb this wall of trust, you know. And it's almost, and what happens is, and this happens literally on a first date. A man goes on a date with a woman, and she's got so much angst over a past hurt, or maybe it's several men that have hurt her in the past. And she's sitting there, and the man's sitting across, and the date that she's on, this man can see literally every man that's ever hurt her standing right behind her. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't see her anymore. All he sees is the man that hurt her because she's putting out that projection. And so he can't even see who she is because they're literally covering her up. And it's one of the reasons why men don't call back for a second date.
Wow.
Because energetically, she's putting out, in very subtle ways, you know, it might be just even her language, it might be her body language, it might be her energy, it might be her doubt, you know. It's one of the reasons, that's one of the ways women, you know, and by the way, ladies, for those of you listening on this, I'm not going to say men are perfect here by any stretch of the means. In fact, it's, you know, it's a two-way street, okay? There's a two-way street going on here, and there's just as many men who are bitter, jaded, unhappy too. But we're talking about you for right now. We're talking about what you can do for yourself.
Right.
And that is really step in a space of abundance and gratitude when you're out on a date. Let me say that one more time. Just step into a space of an abundance and gratitude. And no matter what happens on the date, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. You're going to be who you are the next morning. Nothing's going to change. But if you come from a space of abundance and gratitude, look at the endless possibilities that can happen when you're with somebody new versus thinking about how someone hurt you. Or thinking about what this person's going to do to you. Because that's just a projection.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like going back to that Volkswagen. Focus on the abundance and gratitude, and you'll be more of an attractor for that.
Right. Right. And that image, that visual image you painted for us of a woman sitting there with all of the men that have hurt or disappointed her there, I think that's just such a powerful visual image, and certainly not what is going to draw in and attract love, right?
No. It's going to attract what you don't want.
Right.
It's going to attract what you don't want.
In just a minute, Jonathan, I want us to talk a little bit about the wonderful, juicy, free gift that you have for the women on the summit. But before we do that, I just want to ask you a question, which I know comes up so often in the minds of so many women, and that is, how do men fall in love?
Oh, I love this question.
I love it,
partly
too.
Partly because I'm in that space right now. I'm like, I'm almost giddy. And you know, I'm going to talk about one obvious thing, okay? Men are visual creatures, so we all start with the visual acuity. Whether it's you see someone in a crowded room or you see someone's online dating profile, but we start with our pupils. So, you know, as much as we men dream of being with Grace Kelly or Megan Fox, you know, whoever is your fancy, okay? For the younger guys, it's one, and for us guys who well, anyway. You know, that's the fantasy, but certainly someone that we feel we're attracted to. That's one of the main things that gets us in the door. But what really steps us over to the falling in love space, it's interesting. My comment to my new love interest is what I like about her is she's cool. She's cool. She's easygoing. There's not a lot of drama. You know, she's self-reliant, self-contained. She's a babe in total control of herself. Mm-hmm. And I find that so attractive. And what that, because she's in that space, do you know how, you know what's happening inside of me? I feel good.
Mm.
I feel good to be with her. And because when a man feels good, that's the beginning phases of falling in love. When he feels good being around this person, when he feels happy, when it's fun, I mean, it's real simple. Fun, happy, and when a man feels good are the beginning steps of falling in love. And that's where men, and remember I told you earlier, men begin to nest. Once mm-hmm. a man reaches that space, he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's all about, for us men, it's do I feel good when I'm with this person? So if there's drama, if there's angst, if there's any doubt coming from her, if there's any subtleties where she's just hinting, you know, just in a simple conversation, he senses some bitterness, some anger, some disappointment. You know, this is all registering, and it pulls us back.
Yeah.
A man begins to lean in when he feels good being with her. It's fun. It's happy. And he feels good about himself. That's when a man goes, that's when a man starts to go all in.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And I love that you mentioned the physical attraction because, like it or not, that is often what gets a man through the door. But I also think that the important piece here is that there's more to it than that. And I think sometimes women think that is all there is to it, is that physical attraction, right?
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, we guys are, that's our door opener. In fact, interestingly enough, and most women would say it's the exact same for them, I need to be attracted to them. I've interviewed, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of women who were not attracted to their man on the first, second, or third date. They were not physically attracted to, yet they're happily in love right now because what they fell in love with was his heart. Men tend to fall in love through their pupils. That's how we start. Women tend to fall in love between the ears.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying, and some of the women say, I absolutely need physical attraction, and I get it. That is a component. Chemistry is important. But there are many levels of chemistry. There's physical chemistry, there's sexual chemistry, there's intellectual chemistry, there's emotional chemistry, there's creative
yeah.
chemistry. You know, blows me away. Mick Jagger's probably one of the ugliest men in the world, but yet he had women all over him, you know, because they were attracted to his creative style and everything about him, you know. So it's not just about physical. There's more to chemistry.
Right.
We just men, and I want to touch upon this one second. Part of the reason why men are visual is because we physically need to get it up, okay? So that is a part of the reason for that. But what keeps us in, I say this, what a man desires most is a heart on to go with his heart on.
Mm.
He wants his heart on.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And I think we've all seen couples out there, and perhaps, you know, you gave the example of Mick Jagger and the women that are attracted to him, and it can go the other direction where perhaps a very handsome, attractive man may be with a woman that, at least from our perception, may not be drop-dead gorgeous. And yet, part of what could be the chemistry there are some of the other things you're talking about, all the different levels of chemistry, or a big part of it may be just she knows how to really make that particular man feel great.
Yeah.
And feel good about himself and feel appreciated and acknowledged for the gifts that he offers her.
You know, ultimately, when a man feels accepted and he's respected for who he is and he feels good about being around her, it's not about the physical beauty. That's certainly, I bring that up because it is a part of it, but it's just the tip of the iceberg, because what's really underneath is what matters the most and what keeps us in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm going to use my father as an example. My mother and father were like the gorgeous debutante type couple. And my father was an officer. I mean, he looked Sean, even at age 89, he looked Sean Connery handsome. And my mother was gorgeous, and yet when she had children, she ballooned. I think at one time my mother might have weighed 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. And my father, I'm telling you, is like devastatingly handsome, like in his 60s, you know, like women were just so attracted to him. I said,
yeah.
Dad, what made you stay faithful? You know? And he said, you know what, I always saw your mom the way I first met her, but what kept me in was she has the biggest, beautiful heart of the world, and she's got my back.
I love that. That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel like I could talk to you all day. This is so juicy, and I just think you're providing the women with so many valuable insights, and we're so grateful for your generosity and sharing. And I know that you also are offering a wonderful, wonderful free gift, and I invite all of you to take advantage of Jonathan's free gift for the summit participants, which I'm going to have him tell you about in just a moment. But to find this free gift, you will just go to readyfortherightguide.com/Jonathan, which is Jonathon. So, Jonathan, can you tell us just a little bit about this free gift that you're offering?
Absolutely. I love this free gift. And, ladies, one of the things I've heard so many times is, how do you get a guy to open up and talk? So, especially if he's emotionally unavailable. So in this free gift, it's a 30-minute audio of just some tips and some easy tools you can use to get a guy to open up and start communicating with you. And it's called Get Any Man to Open Up, Even If You Think He's Emotionally Unavailable. It's very popular and also leads you to a bunch of other free gifts in there. There's 3 heartbreaking mistakes women make in relationships, where to find quality men, all kinds of goodies once you just sign up for that. So that's my gift to your community, and I'm grateful to be able to share that as well.
Yes, thank you so much, Jonathan, and I again encourage you to take advantage of this, because I know you're all going to want to have access to more of Jonathan's wisdom and generous sharing. So again, that's readyfortherightguide.com/Jonathan. And before we wrap up today, I know that Jonathan has saved something juicy here for the end of our interview, and I just want to invite him to share some parting wisdom or words with us before we sign off.
First off, I want to thank you for this summit. I'm so grateful that you put together this group of amazing experts, and to be included is truly an honor, and so I want to just say, Michelle, thank you so much. And what I'd like to share with everyone is a simple philosophy I've been practicing. I use the word practice because I'm not perfect at it yet. And that is being passionate and detached. And what that really means is being passionate means being open to all possibilities in the adventure of what it comes whether you're dating, you're in a new relationship, or you're already in a seasoned relationship, just being open to the adventure. It means having no walls, you know, having no walls that someone has to scale.
Mm.
That's being passionate. And then detached from any outcome. You know, one of the greatest dangers we all face is the attachment to what we hope for, what we expect to have happen, an attachment to an outcome. And as we all know, we have no idea what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. We have an idea, maybe a guess, but, you know, many people go to bed not waking up in the morning, and they didn't expect that. So living your life in full adventure and detached to any outcome will bring you so much joy when it comes to love and relationships, because it doesn't matter where it's going to go. Live each day as an adventure. Live for the journey and not the expectation of where it's going to go. And I guarantee you're going to be much happier when it comes to your love life and as well as everything else in your life. Passionate mm-hmm. and detached.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that and ending the interview on such a powerful note. So, Jonathan, thank you so much again for being here with us. And I know that your words of wisdom are going to be transformational for so many women. And Jonathan and I also want to thank each of you for being here with us today. And we encourage you to consider implementing the ideas that resonate with you from the summit interviews. And during the summit, you're going to have access to the best wisdom from over 25 love and relationship experts. And you'll have access to each interview and the replay for 48 hours. And I know you'll want to listen to as many interviews as possible. However, knowing that life is busy and you may not be able to catch all of the interviews, I also want to invite you to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit VIP package, which includes the MP3 recordings of all of the interviews, interview highlight sheets, and some special summit bonuses. And you can check this out at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. And it's like having a team of experts in your back pocket. So during the summit, you'll get the special event pricing of $97 and save $100 off the post-summit pricing. So again, check that out at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. And be sure to get Jonathan's free gift at readyfortherightguy.com/Jonathan. And thanks again for being with us here today. We look forward to having you with us for more of the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. And Jonathan and I are both sending you love, blessings, and wishing you much happiness. Bye-bye for now.
Bye, everyone.